It's time to talk sports, Billings, with Billings Sports Talk. Billings' only local sports talk show, heard on Billings' only sports station. Billings Sports Talk is a cooperative production of the Billings Gazette and Connoisseur Media. Billings Sports Talk is hosted by the Billings Gazette sports editor and Lee Montana executive sports editor, Jeff Welsh, who's standing by to talk sports right now on ESPN 910 KBLG.
Greetings, Billings. Welcome back to Billings Sports Talk. 652-5254 is the number if you want to join our conversation. We've got a busy show lined up for you all today. Starting at 4:15, Greg Rockhotch, our Gazette and 406mtsports.com Montana State beat writer, will be joining us from Bozeman to talk about the Cats. Their extremely disappointing loss to Sacramento State, where, let's be honest here, they blew it. To lose a key game in conference, and they've got Northern Arizona coming up this weekend. A big game there between probably two teams vying for the disappointment trophy in the Big Sky Conference. Coming in at 4:30 is Gary Roller, general manager of the Billings Mustangs.
Number two team in the Pioneer League.
Number two team. They've had a successful year on the field, and by all ideals, apparently a successful year off the field as well, or in the stands, always drawing great crowds out there. But new ownership, so we'll talk to Gary about what that experience has been like, where the Mustangs are headed. Excellent minor league franchise, as good as any out there. And 5 o'clock, Dave Sibley, the voice of the Bronx, who was in here last week, will be joining us again to talk about the Bronx, who have a big game Friday against Bozeman, a repeat of the state championship game last year that the Bronx thought got away. But rumor has it Sibley wants to talk about his Washington Huskies, and we may break tradition here and let him do that.
Well, I guess as long as he agrees to talk about Billings Senior a little bit. I mean, they did have a pretty big game on Friday night. 37-0 at the end of the first quarter. Going up against Great Falls.
Yeah, there's no stopping these guys, and I don't see Bozeman stopping them either. And as we talked last week, the path looks pretty clear to me to the state championship game. Can Glacier stop them? I don't know. Glacier's had a couple of tough outings and managed to win. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then A.J. Mazzolini, we're going to call him this week, pin him down, and get him in here at 5:15 to talk about the Grizz. So we've got a lot going on here and a couple of housekeeping items as well. At 406mtsports.com, we've talked a lot about that brand-new website and with a Facebook page and a Twitter account to go along with that. We are starting a Montana 406 Athletes of the Month.
Wow.
We're going to be giving away a plaque to the top two athletes in the state for September in any sport, any class. And so we are accepting nominations from our readers, online readers, our listeners. So if you go to 406mtsports.com, you can find there a place where you can nominate, and we hope to make a choice maybe by the end of the week and deliver plaques to two very deserving, one boy and one girl candidate. And I've got a feeling that Nate Dick of Billings Senior is going to rate quite highly. I'm not sure who has topped him in terms of performance so far this fall in any sport.
Well, I'm probably going to nominate my own athlete there. I happen to have a fourth grader who right now apparently is the fastest in his school out at Independent. But they've got a school meet going on today. Unfortunately, it was scheduled for yesterday. Mother Nature didn't cooperate, so they scrapped it and decided to do it today, a cross-country meet. They're saying it's the Big Sky State Games, and my fourth grader just started running the mile about 3 weeks ago and is already turning in a 9:13, fastest in his school, fourth, fifth, or sixth grade. So
impressive. Props to him.
I'm hoping to see. He's fast. He's wiry.
He doesn't carry around a lot of weight. Is that what you're saying?
No, he does not. There's not much to spare on him, that's for sure.
Well, maybe we've got the next Steve Prefontaine or Pat Casey in our midst, or the male version of Christina Aragon.
You never know. I just know that it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if he was eligible for some kind of athletic scholarship when that time comes.
No, it always helps out for sure. One other note that we were going to have Mark Burr of the Billings Wolves in this week.
Yeah.
And Mark sent me a Facebook message earlier today saying they have not dotted their I's, crossed their T's on their deal with the IFL. And so we hope to have Mark in next week. From all appearances, seems like the Wolves are going to undergo some kind of ownership transition here. And the question is whether they'll be playing next year and coming back in 2000 and what would that be?
17-18
season.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that. Really looking forward to talking to Mark a little bit more about that. But I understand you don't want some things to get out of the gate before they're finished off. So
keep the chickens in the coop.
Keep them in the coop so that, again, he's got some I's to dot and T's to cross. But it is an interesting conversation that we touched on last week when Dave Sibley was here. But just about is Billings in an arena football league, or in this case, indoor football, is it an indoor football league-friendly city? Those of you who have seen it saw what I think was maybe a perfect storm a few years ago with some great personalities, some great teams. The city really got into it. Somebody asked me that question earlier today. Do you think that 5-10 years down the road that Billings will be the kind of place that would be begging for an indoor football league team? And I honestly am not sure. I think Billings is evolving away from possibly that kind of sport.
I think it depends on when that season falls, how it compares with outdoor football as far as time-wise. Because there comes that point where an outdoor football fan is jonesing for the pigskin.
Sure thing.
And that indoor football, it is a different game. It's a much faster paced game. It's on a different size field. There are, you know, some differences, but a lot of similarities. And I think that if you have that team that clicks together, that is putting up W's every week during the regular football offseason, I think you got a winner there. If you try and do it in conjunction with high school, college, NFL, no way.
Yeah, you know, those are the tricky parts. One, being a winner all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, even Alabama, has its down years. And so will people stick with you during your inevitable down years? I think one thing that works against the Wolves a little bit, too, at least from a media perspective, I know from our perspective, is their season generally starts in February, and we are up to our eyeballs in high school basketball, which is probably far and away the most popular sporting event that we have in Montana outside of Cat Grizz football at
True.
This point. And so we really can't pay attention to the Wolves until they're halfway into their season. And if come the end of March and April, they have a winning team with some real personalities that people can be engaged with, then you're probably on to something, because there's a pretty good gap in sports interest come April and May. A little bit of high school track, but baseball's just getting started, and it's some of the NBA and NHL playoffs maybe, but it's a relatively quiet time. So there is potential locally for a success story, but I think they're pushing a boulder uphill a little bit here.
We'll have to wait and see, and of course it'll be interesting to talk to Mark next week, hopefully, and find out what all the news is coming out with the Wolves.
Indeed, and we will be talking to Greg Rockhatch of the Gazette here in a couple of minutes. One other item to remind everybody, as we did our Facebook Live folks a little bit ago before we were on the air, we are having at 406 MT Sports a ticket giveaway for Cats and Grizz. If you want to enter, go to 406mtsports.com, like our Facebook page, 406 MT Sports, and you will be automatically entered in a drawing that will take place October 11. That's Tuesday now, so we're just 6 days away. And any remaining Cat or Grizz home game, and yes, that includes the big dance, the Brawl of the Wild, in Missoula in November.
So the winner could choose to go to a Cat game of their choice or a Grizz game of their choice, but you might as well choose the game.
Exactly, and I think 99% of the people who've already entered, and we do have quite a few, that's the one they're gearing for. But if perchance, you know, you're over at the family's that weekend, or you've got a wedding that can't be called off, and you need to go to another game, any other Cat home game, any other Grizz home game will suffice. And I'll tell you, just about any Grizz game in particular at this point is going to look pretty good, because after what we've seen the past 2 weeks with their offense, we are starting to see what appears to be the Bob Stitt offense that we were promised when he came here from Colorado School of Mines a couple of years ago. impressive performance, not only against Cal Poly in the loss on the road last week, but another record-setting performance this week in a big win over the defending conference champions, Southern Utah, by 3 touchdowns.
Excellent. So we'll hopefully get more word on that. Not to hop around too much, but I do want folks to check out their calendars, because something else is coming into Billings that's going to be big, big as far as economy goes, as far as fans go, and as far as sports goes. The Nile is right around the corner.
Yeah, indeed.
And this year they're doing something different with the Nile. Of course, when most folks think Nile, they automatically think rodeo. It is the Northern International Livestock Expo. So there's a trade show going on. There's lots of vendors. There's lots of information. But, of course, there is lots of rodeo. And this year you've got the Ranch Rodeo Finals happening on Saturday the 15th. Usually they hold those on the Wednesday in the second week of the Nile, and then they go to PRCA Rodeo. This year they separated those two events. So you've got actual ranch hands from working ranches doing what they do, cutting cattle, mock branding, and a bunch of other events on Saturday the 15th. And then on Thursday the 20th, Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd, you've got all the PRCA action. And I'm hoping to get a couple of the folks from the Nile, from the PRCA, into the studio.
Outstanding.
To chit-chat with us for Billings Sports Talk here as well.
Excellent. Billings is a great rodeo town. I don't think that's any secret. We have some of the best rodeos on the stop, on the tour, year in and year out, and which is one reason why Joe Cusick, who was in here a couple of weeks ago, one of our Gazette staff members, rodeo is a beat at the Gazette. And you don't see that at many papers anymore, actually. We're one of the few, but certainly merited here in Billings.
Well, if he's coming back to town, he's been a mainstay of it for years and years. J.J. Harrison is the rodeo clown. And he's from the upper Northwest. If he's coming back into town, I guarantee I can get him into this room. And he could talk for 2 hours alone, and you'd be fascinated.
Would love to talk to JJ. You know, I've done some stories when I worked in Idaho in particular. Rodeo is also big over there. The Snake River Stampede.
Oh, yeah.
In Caldwell, the Nampa area. And had an opportunity to interview some rodeo clowns at that time. Still one of the more unforgettable interviews I've ever done. And it's extraordinary what these guys have gone through. It's like offensive linemen in football. Everything has been broken at some point in their lives.
Yeah. JJ actually has a master's degree in education.
You know, and that's the other thing that people aren't necessarily aware of, is that a lot of the people who are involved in rodeo have extensive educational backgrounds. You think they've spent maybe most of their time or all of their time on the ranch. And in a previous job that I had doing communications, where I worked with the ranching community quite a bit, I was stunned by how many had PhDs. I figured, who has time to ever even leave the ranch?
Well, you know, with all the injuries they face, they do have a lot of recovery time afterwards. We do have someone joining us on the phone. 652-5254 is the number if you want to get involved with Billings Sports Talk. Hi, you're on the air.
Greg with Cat Chat.
Try that one more time. Hi, you're on the air.
Sounds like Greg.
Hello, this is Greg with Cat Chat.
Oh, Greg with Cat Chat. Well, we could either take the break now, or we could do Cat Chat and come back to it.
652-5254. When we come back, we'll talk to Greg about the Cats. Last week's loss at Sacramento State and looking ahead to NAU.
Right here on ESPN 910 KBLG.
Make your plans to attend The Benefit, the annual fundraiser for family service, Friday, October 14th. Get inspired by real-life stories at The Benefit, with comedy by comedian Nick Guerra, cocktails and cuisine at the historic Northern Hotel, while supporting family service, brought to you in part by Connoisseur Media. For more information, call 384-0329 or visit billingsfamilyservice.org. This message is brought to you in part by the Rimrock Mall and Fuller Family Medicine as part of the Love Billings campaign. For more information, visit lovebillings.org.
Stop by the Grandstand Sports Bar and check out their daily lunch and dinner specials. Football season is back, and the Grandstand is the place to watch. During all games, get buckets of beer for just $12, big wells for $11, and now during the games, a dozen wings in-house, only $8. It's the Grandstand, 905 Grand Avenue. And don't forget to check out their Facebook page for daily lunch and dinner specials.
It's homecoming weekend for the Rocky Mountain College Battling Bears. This Saturday, the Bears will go up against Southern Oregon University. Remember, you can listen to every play on ESPN 910 KBLG. Pregame Saturday, October 8th starts at 12:30. Kickoff scheduled for 1 p.m. Rocky Mountain College Battling Bear football is brought to you in part by SignPro, Dietz Auto, Pepsi of Billings, and EFX Sports Nutrition. Don't miss the Battling Bears this Saturday for homecoming 2016 on ESPN 910 KBLG.
And welcome back to ESPN 910 KBLG. It is Billings Sports Talk, and you are joining the conversation at 652-5254. Of course, right now we have someone joining that conversation talking about a sore subject for some fans.
Well, I've got to believe Cat fans are a little bit frustrated at this point. Greg Rockhotch, our Billings Gazette and 406MTSports.com Montana State beat writer. Greg, big lead in the fourth quarter. They let it slip away at Sacramento State, which had been winless. What was the mood like after that, and what happened?
Well, the mood was certainly one of, it seemed like surprise more than anything in the immediate aftermath. One thing that struck me was Coach Choate was much less, I don't want to say confrontational, but he was much more subdued, I guess, and a lot more practical after the Sacramento State game. And I kind of chalk that up to everyone just being really surprised. He was a little bit irritated with some of the questions the week before after the loss to North Dakota, but I think everybody was just really shocked at the way they lost that game. And you mentioned they had a big fourth quarter lead. They were up 17 points, at the outset of the fourth quarter. And really what happened was the offense, which had really had its breakout for most of the game with Chris Murray at quarterback, just stopped moving the ball, stopped converting first downs. And Sacramento State was able to capitalize on that. And MSU's defense had been on the field for much of that game. They faced 94 snaps in that game, and the Bobcat offense didn't do a good enough job of making sure that they were able to stay on the sideline and kind of catch their breath. And I think it caught up to them in the fourth quarter. Coach Choate really stressed the fact that their defense was just really out of gas at the end of the game, and one of those drives went for 96 yards, I believe, that turned into a touchdown. And you could really tell that the Bobcat defense was, it really had no legs left at the end of the game. So that's what you can chalk it up to.
You know, Greg, you see so many times where a team will get a big lead in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, and they'll take their foot off the gas a little bit. They'll try to milk the clock and maybe go a little bit conservative. Do you think that happened here, or did just momentum just swing?
Well, I think it was a product of the Bobcats becoming way too one-dimensional, and they've been pretty one-dimensional on offense throughout the season. The passing game still hasn't been able to get going. They only completed 6 passes against Sacramento State, and while Chris Murray and the running game really got going, they rushed for like 380-plus yards. Sacramento State did a good job of adjusting on the fly and really kind of put the wraps on them in the fourth quarter. So I don't think they were going conservative. I think they realized that the passing game wasn't working, and they were kind of going with what Sacramento State was giving them throughout the game. But once the Hornets sort of adjusted to all that, it became kind of tough sledding for him in the fourth quarter, and that's really what happened as far as not being able to move the ball when it counted.
Now, many of our listeners may not be aware that you and A.J. Mazzolini of the Missoulian do a Twitter chat about the Cats and Grizz on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
You did that this morning at 11:30, and people should check into that on Twitter each week. And there's nothing like a, dare I say it, quarterback controversy to get people engaged. And so this week you had a little bit more engagement than you've had in previous weeks. And I assume that would be attributed to what's going to happen at quarterback with the Cats.
Yeah, I don't know if controversy is the right word.
Right.
It is just they're kind of just out of options. Tyler Brugman, through 5 weeks, clearly has struggled. He started the game last week 1-for-7, and by the time the second quarter rolled around, Choate and the coaching staff decided it was time to make a change to Murray. Not that that's anything out of the ordinary. You know, they've been using Chris Murray at times during this season, but I think that last week was the first time that they really said, okay, we're going to go with this kid for a while and see what he can do. And he really played well. I mean, it's obvious, like his natural talent is so obvious. He's a young guy, but he's playing the quarterback position his whole career, and he can really run. His breakaway speed is probably what is most impressive about him. And, you know, he had touchdown runs of like 17 yards, and then his next one was 59 yards, and his next one was 58 yards. And so he was able to really provide the offense with those big plays that they've so desperately needed. And so it was only natural that they were going to stick with him for the rest of the game. And I think I'd be surprised if they haven't already made the decision this week to start him against Northern Arizona. I don't think they really have any choice after last week. They need to get the passing game going. That's obvious, regardless of who's in the game. But, I'd be totally stunned if Chris Murray isn't the quarterback this week, and really would be surprised if he's not the quarterback going forward indefinitely.
You've been watching this objectively now for, as you said, five weeks. If you're the coach, what do you do? Do you continue to do you give Murray the start but continue to give Brugman some snaps, or do you go all in with your freshman at this point?
If it's me, I go in. I go all in with my freshman. I mean, he's shown, especially last week, you know, with him breaking out the way he did, I think his confidence is high now. And they've been reluctant to really open up the playbook for him just because they don't want to overburden him or put too much on his plate in terms of the play calling and the offense and things like that. But at this point, what do you have to lose? I mean, Tyler Brugman has not worked out. This is his fourth school that he's been to in his career. And, maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know. That's just speculation. But if I'm the coach, what do you have to lose? We're 0-2 in the league. We need to get going here. We had a spark last week with Chris Murray, so let's stick with it.
They're not getting much out of their passing game. From what you have seen with Murray, can he throw well enough to bring in enough balance to this? He's obviously a threat with his legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's such a small sample to look at. He's only attempted 20 passes in 5 games. I'm not quite sure how many snaps he's taken, but it's a low percentage compared to what he's, done as far as running the football. But he's shown an ability to put the ball in the right spots. He was on the wrong end of some drop passes last week. But he also had some pretty impressive completions, one that I can recall to Mitch Herbert, who went up and had kind of a tightrope sideline catch that led to a touchdown in the first half. So, I think Chris Murray has shown the ability that he can throw the ball. I don't think the stats are indicative of his throwing ability. He just needs more reps as far as passing. And I think, once they kind of get him into the flow of things in a game, you might see him kind of break out, in terms of throwing the ball. So the potential's there. Jeff Choate said this week, he's capable of doing a lot more than he's shown. It's just a matter of how much they want to put on his plate with the play calls and seeing how far he can take him that way.
Well, I'm curious to know on the Twitter chat what the conversation might have been concerning this, because potentially I'm a millionaire right now. I've got a Powerball ticket for tonight's lotto.
Okay.
But the reality is I'm probably going to just waste the $2 that I spent. So how are folks feeling about putting a freshman, in a starting position for that school?
Well, fans are pretty fickle, and they don't like what they've seen so far with the other guy. And I think that they're very encouraged with what they saw last week from Chris Murray, freshman or not. I mean, he is just 17 years old, but like I said, he started playing. One thing that Coach Choate mentioned during fall camp was that Chris Murray started playing quarterback in high school when he was 13 years old. And he's been doing it a long time. Obviously, he was a lot better than the competition he faced in high school.
Yeah.
And he's not seeing a lot of the same successes he did. You know, plays would just open up for him when he was in high school, and he'd run 80 yards untouched. But defenses, have the ability to swarm him now. And I don't think the game has slowed down for him yet. And I think the mental part of the game is still something that he really needs to improve on. But fans want to see Chris Murray. I think we've seen that on social media. That sentiment is all over the place, and it has been for more than just this week. Last week they were clamoring for him to have a much bigger role as well. So I don't think they're concerned one bit that he's so young and so inexperienced. They just want results, and what they saw last week from him is the best they've seen so far, and they want to see how far it can go.
Is it clamoring for Chris Murray, or is it clamoring for a W?
Yeah, I think they want to win, but at the same time, they've seen that Chris Murray gives them the best chance, and that's what Jeff Choate said after the game in Sacramento on Saturday. Right now, he feels Chris Murray gives MSU its best chance to win. And so, 2 + 2 = 4. So you might as well go with the guy that's going to do the best job for you.
Looking ahead, the Cats have Northern Arizona this weekend, Saturday. It's maybe early to use the term desperate, but I don't know that you would say that about the Cats, but certainly Northern Arizona, which was a preseason favorite to challenge for the league title. They come in here 1-4 with a win over, Western New Mexico. And
New Mexico Highlands.
New Mexico Highlands, yeah, exactly, 73-3. But otherwise, it's been a rough go for these guys. What do you anticipate with them coming in, and where do you see the Cats' mindset?
Well, it's two really hungry teams. They're both winless in the league at 0-2, and I think the most interesting storyline is that Northern Arizona is also going through quarterback concerns of their own. Case Cookus, who was the Big Sky Freshman of the Year last year, injured his shoulder against Eastern Washington, and Coach Sowers said today that he is out indefinitely, and so they're turning to their backup, a left-hander named Blake Kemp. He's a transfer from East Carolina who has had a lot of success at the FBS level. Last year he threw for over 300 yards against Florida, threw for over 300 yards against BYU, threw for 400 yards against Central Florida. So this is a guy who's done it at the highest level. And Coach Sowers talked about how when he transferred this offseason, it was because of a coaching change that was made at East Carolina. And he was brought in really as an insurance policy, in the event that Case Cookus ever got hurt. Well, they've had to cash that policy in now. And they're thankful that they have a guy as capable as Blake Kemp to come in and really try to keep things going. Although last week they were upset by Northern Colorado, which was kind of a surprise to most Big Sky pundits. Northern Arizona is a team that was picked to win the league in the preseason. So Montana State isn't looking at records at all. They're not looking at the fact that Northern Arizona has turned to their backup quarterback. They know that this is a tough team coming in, and it's going to take their best effort to win.
All right, last question. What's your prediction?
This one could go either way.
Of a 17-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a game that both teams, you didn't want to use the word desperate, but I'm going to say that they, both teams desperately need this victory, and I think we're going to see a very close game. Flip of a coin. The Bobcats are sort of mired in some bad luck right now. And, you know, Northern Arizona has maybe the best skill players in the league. So I'm going to say Northern Arizona wins a close one here in Bozeman, 27-26. That's my pick.
All right. Greg Rockhotch of the Gazette. You can read his fine work in the Gazette and at 406mtsports.com on Facebook at Cat Grizz Insider. Greg, we'll enjoy Saturday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Tell you what, I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm concerned on two fronts. You put a 17-year-old in charge of a team who's going to be going up against 22, 23, 24-year-olds on defense, and he wins. He gets a swelled ego and thinks that he's God's gift. He loses, it destroys him forever. There's no winning either way.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me, Jack, is it seems like in recent years we're seeing more freshmen at the Power Five conferences, freshman quarterbacks who are actually coming in and succeeding. Jameis Winston comes to mind. And the others, a few others are escaping me right now. It's what happens when you get old.
Jameis Winston, but that's a story that went really, really well. Someone who won, whose ego got too swollen up, who all of a sudden had problems.
Well, his finale in college, we would agree, against Oregon was not memorable, to say the least. But it just does seem that these guys are coming in more prepared. I don't remember 10, 15 years ago that you saw very many Division I schools, especially at the highest levels, starting freshman quarterbacks, and it seems like there are more these days. So 652-5254, when we come back, we'll be visiting with Gary Roller, general manager of the Billings Mustangs, to talk about yet another successful season out there at the Dealer Park.
Bring in the boys of summer. Maybe we can get some summer-like weather back in here. It is Billings Sports Talk on ESPN 910 KBLG.
How can you make sure you're getting the best price on your insurance? How do they get deer to cross at that yellow road sign? For great answers to tough questions, call Ken and Aaron Beard of the Beard Agency. 30 years of combined insurance experience, located at 1601 Lewis Avenue.
Christy Carter, a Roundup native, was recently diagnosed with a brain cancer. A benefit to assist her and her family with medical costs and related expenses is scheduled for Sunday, October 9th at the Roundup Community Center, sponsored by Zion Lutheran Church, with a benefit dinner, silent auction, door prizes, and raffle for a half beef from 11 to 3. Donations can also be sent to First Security Bank of Roundup under the name Christy Carter Benefit. This message is brought to you by Cape Air and Scenic Zip Trip Stores as part of the Love Billings campaign. For more information, visit lovebillings.org. It's homecoming weekend for the Rocky Mountain College Battling Bears. This Saturday, the Bears will go up against Southern Oregon University. Remember, you can listen to every play on ESPN 910 KBLG. Pregame Saturday, October 8th, starts at 12:30. Kickoff scheduled for 1 p.m. Rocky Mountain College Battling Bear football is brought to you in part by Underwriter Motors, Residential Support Services, and Cape Air. Don't miss the Battling Bears this Saturday for homecoming 2016 on ESPN 910 KBLG.
And welcome back to Billings Sports Talk on ESPN 910 KBLG. 652-5254, the number to join the conversation. A couple of quick programming notes. Of course, we don't have much more baseball left, but Major League Ball is in postseason play coming up tomorrow. The Blue Jays of Toronto won the wild card in the American League. They face the Rangers. Coverage at 2 o'clock right here on ESPN 910. And then we transition to NFL, Thursday Night Football, Cardinals and 49ers tomorrow night at 6, with a full weekend of baseball, football, and no, I don't think we have any basketball on tap this weekend. That's probably good.
So. Although we're close. Yeah, I think October is one of the great months of the year sports-wise because it's postseason with baseball. We've got football hitting midstream. And then for those of us whose college football teams are already off the radar, we've got college basketball practice, which has just started. And so a lot going on. And, you know, as far as the Billings Mustangs are concerned, you know, their season ended a couple of weeks ago.
Sadly, it ended with a ranking of, what, number two in the Pioneer League? Although number one in the North, and clinched that in the first half of the season. And we're proud to be affiliated with the Mustangs here on ESPN 910 KBLG, the broadcast home for them. And welcoming Gary Roller into the studio. How are you, sir?
Thanks so much, Jack. We're resting.
You're rested.
Right now. Yeah.
What happens, Gary, this time of year? You're a couple weeks removed from the end of the season. What are you buttoning up the ballpark, or what goes on with your staff over there at the Mustangs?
That's exactly what we're doing right now. Buttoning up the ballpark's a great way to put it. Putting things away, winterizing, just getting ready for the off season right now. You know, putting it away is a lot harder than getting it out in the spring. And so as we get off and come off of the season, we're just trying to get the ballpark ready for the winter, putting everything away, and then we'll start our planning processes here over the next several months, getting ready for next year.
That's you bring me to the next question, actually, which is what does a general manager of a short season minor league ball club do in October, in January, in
goes
March?
Hunting.
you don't disappear, I'm pretty sure of that, for 6 months.
No, we don't hibernate. unfortunately, we don't. We start getting ready for next year almost right away. We're in the middle of our scheduling process right now, trying to get the game schedule ready and done. And then we'll start on the heels of that, as soon as we wrap that up and finish that, we'll start our sales season. Once we know what schedule it is we're going to play, obviously we have a little bit of downtime this time of year. We're not working as many hours as we do during the summer or even the spring. Be impossible probably. But here shortly we will start getting ready. Next week I'm off to Idaho Falls, where the Pioneer League will convene for the fall meetings. And then a little bit later on this fall, in first part of December, we're off to the National Baseball Winter Meetings in D.C. this year. So we do have some things going on in the fall, but not quite as much as we normally do.
Gary, talk about the hats you wear as a general manager. I'm sure it's a little bit different than like at the major league level, where they're dealing a lot with transactions, trades, you know, the makeup of the roster. What do you primarily do? I'm sure it's more hats than we can count.
Yeah, it is a lot of hats. It's a lot of fun as well, but it suffice it to say, it's polar opposite of what a general manager at the major league level will do. They, as you said, Jeff, they are 100% responsible for player personnel, movement, signings, trades, so forth and so on, where myself, I'm not involved in that at all. That is all handled by the Cincinnati Reds. We just simply take the players that they give us and make arrangements for them. So it's more the business end of things, the advertising sales, sponsorship sales, ticket sales, the park, managing the park for baseball operations, both for us, MSUB, and also the American Legion program. So it's really everything other than player personnel decisions and transactions and movement and all those things. We are here just to facilitate things for the Reds in terms of the players themselves.
So, and you've been with the Mustangs now how many years, Gary?
Over 20, I think. Yeah, 24 maybe.
24 years. What are the changes you've seen with this franchise and just in general the evolution over those 24 years?
I think the biggest change, and everybody would agree, would be change in facilities. You know, we left Cobb Field after the 2007 season and opened Dealer Park in July of 2008, and they really couldn't have been more different. Cobb Field's kind of the old school wooden facility that was built way back in the 30s and the 40s to an ultra modern facility that Dealer Park is. So that's the biggest change that we've seen. Obviously our operation has had to change because of that, and that's been significant as well. But I think the biggest one, so to speak, would be the facility itself.
Talk a little bit about what success looks like at the Class A level with a short season minor league team, and through your lens, as opposed to, I'm sure everybody would love to win a league title every year, and maybe there are some people who look at it that way, but what does a successful summer look like for you?
Yeah, we don't necessarily look at the wins and losses. They're really out of our hands and out of our control,
sure.
And I think even to some degree out of the Reds' control. when you see these young guys and you see as much player movement as we see over the course of the summer, you're really not in control of the wins and losses. You are in control of the process, though, and that's what we look at on an everyday basis as they come out and go through their workouts. We look at the process, and we always feel like if the process is correct and in place, the wins and losses will take care of themselves. And I think the Reds would agree to that, agree with that to some degree. But we really look at the business end of things and how we're doing from an attendance standpoint, from a revenue standpoint, from an expense standpoint, and also from the facility standpoint. How's the facility holding up? What do we have to do to make changes to the facility as we grow in the facility itself? So we're really looking at the business end of things versus the wins and losses. Now, there, some of that does go hand in hand. I think if you look back at us and look back at any minor league club, your attendance is probably going to be higher in the years that you win more than you lose. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think, too, particularly the fans of Billings who have been with us and a part of us for so long, they understand that the wins and losses will come and go. So we might not be as dependent on the wins and losses as some of the other clubs around the country. We're a little bit more stable when it comes to that, which is fortunate because, again, we're not in control of that. The clubs around the country are not in control of that. So we really do look at the numbers at the end of the day more than we're looking at really the wins and losses of the club.
How did attendance look this year?
We were actually about level with where we've been since we moved into the new park. From an average attendance standpoint, we were just under 3,000 again, which we feel is where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So no complaints on that end. We didn't battle the weather this year the way we did last year.
Mother Nature was very cooperative this season for the Mustangs.
If anything, Mother Nature was too hot this year. But, you know, we can always play when it's too hot. We struggle to play when it's too cold and too wet. So no complaints from this end as far as the heat goes.
You touched on something, Gary, that is, as a relative newcomer to Billings, that I find extraordinary, and that's the tradition that you have with the Reds and just the tradition of success from an attendance standpoint, wherever you are, but especially now with the new ballpark. Can you describe, you know, how has that been possible? What makes this work?
You know, it's really hard to kind of put your thumb on it in this day and age because these affiliations come and go. You know, a lot of them are turning over every 2 years. We just finished our 43rd season with the Reds, which
it's incredible.
I believe it's top three in minor league baseball right now in consecutive years being affiliated with the same MLB club. We're very proud of that. I know the Reds are very proud of that. I don't think it just happens. I think it takes a lot of work on our end and a lot of work on their end. But I think the foundation was built years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And then when the new facility came in 2008, that was kind of what said, you know what, we're going to be with you guys for many, many more years.
It doesn't seem like Dealer Park is that old. It feels like it was just, you know, 2 years ago that reopened.
9 years now. We just finished our ninth year in there. It is hard to believe. On one hand, it was like it was yesterday. On the other hand, it feels like it was a million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You must, you know, hear from the Reds because they send people out to take a look at players and everything else. What do they tell you about Billings and why Billings apparently is so appealing to the organization?
First and foremost, it is the facility. They absolutely love the facility here. Not only just the playing surface, but the amenities and the facility as a whole. That's probably number one. You know, as we talked to them when we were getting kind of towards the end of Cobb Field in 2006, 2007, they probably wouldn't have said that. They were not pleased with Cobb Field and the condition it was in. And they liked the playing surface at that time. We continue to pour resources and effort into the playing surface, but the facility and the structure itself was failing. There was nothing anybody could do about it. They were not pleased about that. But once they knew that the new park was coming, they were ecstatic. They love this league. They love Billings, Montana. They love the people of Billings. We hope they like us for the most part. But we put their players in situations that they want their players in. They want them to travel on a bus. They want them to figure that out. They want them to play in front of people. We're able to do that because of the community of Billings, Montana. They want them to deal with the media and the press. They do. They have to do that here. So we have everything in this league that they possibly could want. We fit their niche very well. We typically get the older players here. The college players is typically what they want to draft. And so we fit that niche as well. Suffice it to say, everything could always be better. But for the most part, we fulfill what they need, and they fulfill what we need in terms of sending us a competitive club every year.
Now, you've been under new ownership now for, I guess time gets away from me, but this was your first full year?
Two seasons.
Okay. And they've come in with some ideas about some changes, you know, on the periphery of the ballpark. They've been working with the city on that. After so many years under one form of ownership, and now you've got some people with some new ideas, how has that evolution gone?
Well, it's different for sure. It's different for sure. It's not necessary to say that it's been bad or it's been good. It's just been different. Anytime you're dealing with different people and different ideas, you know, coming off of the previous structure that we had been under for so long, it's going to be a change for us. And it's going to be a change for our new ownership as well. But I think if they were sitting here today, I think that they would say they're very pleased with what they've seen for 2 years. They continue to be impressed by the community and the support we get from the community. That doesn't necessarily happen all over the country and maybe even with their other clubs that they own. But they continue to tell us how impressed they are with this community. They like the league as well. They like the fact that we're short season, and they are overly impressed with the fact that we've been with the Reds as long as we have. So things are going to change, and I think things are going to continue to evolutionize here in the community. But that's going to take time, and it's going to take money. So hopefully everybody's patient with us, patient with the new ownership, and hopefully the new ownership's patient with everybody here on the ground as well.
They've come from a place, you know, Davenport, and they've got some other franchises where they've done some dynamic things that people kind of joke about the Ferris wheel in Davenport, and they've talked about a zip line here and that sort of thing, and those are big changes for this community, and so there would be an argument put forth that, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I wonder if there are, first of all, if they, and I would ask them this question too, if maybe they have backed off a little bit here because it has been successful. Do you see them going full tilt with some of their ideas?
Again, only time is going to tell, I think. You know, as you mentioned, Jeff, those changes in a community like ours, with a club like ours, and the history that we have, and the fact of the matter is, we haven't changed really since day one in 1948. Those changes are radical, and radical is not always good in Billings, Montana.
whatever do you mean?
I think that they're finding that out. I think they're experiencing that firsthand, and perhaps, like you say, they're backing off a little bit with some of these changes that they talked about originally. I still think we're going to see some changes. I think we're going to see some adjustments to what they want it to be and kind of what their vision is. Are they going to be as radical perhaps as what they originally said? Maybe not. But again, only time is going to tell.
Do you think that, I mean, this, as you said, it has been so similar and successful for so long. Do you feel like there is a need for some evolution, or do you think that the course can be stayed and be successful into the future?
Well, I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think it's proven what we've done here for so many years, and I think that if it didn't work, the fans would have left us by now, and they haven't left us. They continue to support us. We continue to talk to them, and they really are baseball people here. They really enjoy the game of baseball and just watching the game of baseball. They don't necessarily need all the antics and promotions and various things that you see throughout minor league baseball, and that's not a knock on all those things. Those things work in other markets, in certain markets. Perhaps they don't work here. I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, since we moved into the new park and we have a new facility, we've kind of changed course a little bit. We haven't made the radical changes that maybe they're talking about at this point. But we haven't shut our eyes to minor league baseball. We haven't shut our eyes to the future. We are continuing to adjust and adapt as need be. Maybe not as quickly as the new ownership would like to see us. But again, all that is going to take time.
Well, I can't tell you, each time I've been out at the ballpark, somebody who's been out there for years and years and says they don't want any changes. Leave it alone. And I think our staff guys who've covered you, Mike Schurting and Jeff Bursch this summer, would tell you the same thing. And, you know, it seems like there's the potential for some kind of tug of war here. And I'm really curious how this is going to play out over time.
Yeah, and we are as well. But I think that what we've told the ownership is I don't think we can go 180 degrees in the other direction. I don't think we need to. I don't think that's what the fans want. I don't think that's what the community wants.
No, I don't think it's broken. Everything has to grow. Everything has to evolve or it dies. I mean, it's great that we have 3,000 loyal folks coming out, but could we get it up to 4,000? Could we get it up to 5,000 who are coming out to support the team and support games? And that's where I wonder if some of these other things wouldn't bring that out.
Well, that's the challenge in this whole thing, because you've got to understand too that with radical changes, you might also push away.
There is that fear.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
And so the net effect is what? The same as what we have right now, perhaps. So it's always a balancing act, and how do we find that? I think the answer is, if there are other things down the road, you know, zip lines and Ferris wheels and all those types of things.
We're going to shoot the catcher out of a cannon from the 329 club.
Well, I've always thought the answer is outside and off of the playing surface. We are one to play baseball from start to finish. We have not necessarily bought into the dizzy bat races and the various things during the half innings. If we want to put a Ferris wheel up and all those types of things and don't affect the game itself, I'm all for it. And let's just see where it goes. I am against changing the game and how the game is to be played here in this market, because over the 64 years we've been here, 64 seasons we've been here, they've showed us and they've told us that they want to watch baseball.
How much of this, Gary, is a demographics question? And I'm not completely familiar with the demographics of who's sitting in your bleachers night in and night out, but just like with newspaper readers and people in other areas that I've been involved in, it's getting older and older and older. I'm talking about the print version now. And so you need to do some different things that involve online in our case. But when you look out from the press box at a game, what are you seeing demographics-wise?
Well, I think we saw a big shift in demographics when we went from Cobb Field in 2007 to Dealer Park in 2008. We, because of the facility itself, got a heck of a lot younger. It was noticeable just our eyes. We didn't have to survey. We didn't have to poll. We didn't have to do any of those things. We just looked out, and we saw younger families.
Well, it's also ticket price. I mean, I've got two kids, 9 and 4. I've got a wife. We go out to a movie. It's easy, $50. After you pay for tickets, you pay for popcorn. Everyone's got to have a drink. We go out to the ballpark, and we can spend less than that, and we're getting hot dogs and drinks and popcorn and peanuts, and we're getting a game. Ticket prices starting at, what, $4?
Yeah, $5.
$4 or $5. I mean, you can't beat it as far as a value for entertainment for family.
Right, and that's how we feel about it, and that's minor league baseball across the country. Even though minor league baseball is getting more expensive because everybody's expenses are going up, it's still a heck of a lot less than some of the other opportunities that you have throughout your communities, and certainly not to knock major league baseball, but a heck of a lot less expensive than major league baseball.
So in this, it almost strikes me that you have a three-legged stool here, because there's your crew here in town, you've got the ownership, new ownership, and you've got the Reds over here who've got their interests out here. How does all this work together? And the Reds must feel like they have a pretty good thing here too. I mean, do they work with the ownership to say, it's okay to do this, don't do that, don't screw it up?
I think to some degree, but really the foundation of the agreement is, you know, the Reds are going to send us players, and we're going to make arrangements for them to play a 76-game schedule. And we're going to do our best to take care of those players day in and day out. what we do between innings and what we do outside of the game itself is our business. So it's a bit of a fine line. And a lot of that is trust that we've developed between our group and the Reds group over the last now 43 seasons. So it's a fine line, but they do trust us. We do trust them that they're going to send us the best possible club that they can send us each and every year. We're both going to pay our bills. We're going to meet in the middle, and we're going to get along. And that doesn't just happen overnight. That takes a long time, a lot of conversations, and we still have that. And there's no reason to believe that we're not going to have that for, you know, at least for the next several years here in the future. We are under a contract. We signed an extension. They are here through 2018. I think that if they were in the room today, they would tell you they want to be here longer than that. But we'll see how that plays out.
In conversations I've had with the owners, Bob Herfelt and Dave Heller, their concern isn't about today. I mean, they think what is here is fantastic. Their concern is 10 years from now, and how much is Billings going to change? Will the demographic change? And I think part of what they say is we want to be a little bit proactive on the periphery here. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that I think they're exactly right. There's no question that everything is to the eye seems pretty good right now, and it is pretty good right now. Where are we going to be in 10 years? What's that facility going to look like in 10 years? What's Major League Baseball going to look like in 10 years? Everything is changing and changing fast in this world.
But if we could all answer that question, we'd also have the winning Powerball number, and we
you
wouldn't have to worry about
that, Jack.
I'm preoccupied. I got bills to pay.
Well, I have to say, again, as a relative newbie, I had seen a game years ago living in Bozeman at Cobb Field. But I've been around a lot of minor league ballparks, and I was actually a part of restoring minor league baseball to Boise back in the 80s. And I think two of the best settings and backdrops that I've been around in minor league baseball would be Boise and Billings. It's just there's nothing quite like being here at a game at a dealer on a night, a hot summer night, and just sitting back watching baseball. And I get why that works, where it may not in every other place.
Right. It does work here, and a lot of it is the history and the fact that we've been around as long as we have been around, and really the community and the people that live in our community have been around a long time as well. We don't see a lot of turnover, a lot of change in this community. It's fairly conservative, and so all that plays into it. If we're able to keep prices as low as we talked about a few minutes ago, and move forward with some of the changes that perhaps are adjustments we need to make. I don't see that it's going to change that dramatically or that significantly over the next, at least foreseeable future. Now, you know, 10 years, 15 years down the road, who knows? If we could predict that, like Jack said, we probably wouldn't be here.
There'll
right
be
now.
Robots playing on the field.
Well, Gary, we appreciate you coming by. Great to catch up with you about the Mustangs, and we look forward to seeing how things come together for 2017.
Yeah, we do as well. Appreciate you guys having me. Best of luck.
Looking forward to a new season coming up. And when do season tickets go on sale? Do they have to wait until 2017, or can they go ahead and call?
No, they can call us anytime they want, but we're not going to sell them anything for a while.
All right. Gary Roller from the Billings Mustangs. We are back in just a few moments. This is Billings Sports Talk on ESPN 910 KBLG.
This is ESPN 910 KBLG Billings from the EFX Sports Studio.
And welcome back to Billings Sports Talk on Billings' only sports station, ESPN 910 KBLG. Glad to have you along, and even more glad to have you as part of the conversation. You want to join in the fun? 652-5254 is Jeff Welch and I are talking sports.
Yeah, we'll have A.J. Mazzolini of the Missoulian and 406mtsports.com will be joining us to talk about the High Flying Grizz in about 10, 12 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And And I won't call this a reminder because this is actually breaking news of sorts, but program note, we will be on October 26th doing this show remotely from MSU Billings Athletic Department. We will be. That's even news to you.
It is indeed. I now have to figure out how that's going to work.
I announced it to the world, Jack, so now all the pressure's on you.
Thanks.
Some way, somehow, we'll make this work.
Dear Cam, you've got vacation request for October 26th.
Well, we'll be filtering. If Jack is still in town, we'll be filtering MSUB coaches, players, and maybe other members of the athletic department, including athletic director Kristen Montague. Talk about what's going on up there. A lot happening. They don't have a football program. Have I mentioned that before?
Once or twice.
But they've got an excellent soccer program. We'll be doing a feature. Jeff Bursch of the Gazette will be doing a feature on them that'll run in tomorrow's Gazette and at 406 MT Sports. And so we're looking forward to that. And I thought, Jack, terrific conversation with Gary Roller. I thought he was very candid about the changes that are taking place out there. And
Gary always is. I mean, we've been fortunate to have a relationship with him here at ESPN 910 for several years as the affiliate for the Billings Mustangs. And I know that team members and their families are always tuning in online near and far to listen to game broadcasts. And Gary's been very, very good to us and very candid with us about everything that goes on with the team. And I'm glad he's been around for as long as he has and hopefully will continue to be so.
Well, 24 years, and the team has been a success for all of those years. And so, here's a guy who can probably feel pretty comfortable in his skin, in his professional skin.
And they've had some, there are some names that have come through Billings on their way up in the rosters in the MLB. So it's nice to have a farm team that has, 43 years with the Reds, that consistency. And, looking forward to 44, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, so.
I've always wondered about that statement, by the way. If the creek rises, isn't that the Lord willing?
Yeah, so if the creek rises and you flood, then you're hosed.
Unless it's a man-made creek. I don't know. But, yeah, I think they will be for some time. It's hard to imagine the Reds turning in a different direction. And I do think the Mustangs and the whole scenario right now is fascinating. It really strikes me as a microcosm of the old Billings versus the new Billings, and some of the transitions, some of them a little bit uncomfortable, that I think people will be making, in the athletic world. And that's why I think football at MSUB is important. But the fundamental question with the Mustangs is, can you continue this success story doing the same things that you've always done? I think it's really unique that they have been able to do that, because usually the old adage is, it's insane to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. But I think the thing here is they're not looking for different results right now.
No.
But you've got new ownership that's come in that's saying, look, this is kind of how the landscape looks, and this is what we're projecting in 5 or 10 years, and we don't want to lose the following.
It's tough to get behind the trend because then you got to play catch up. But it's also hard to get out in front of the trend and figure out what the trend is going to be. That's the challenge.
Sure.
Again, if we all had the crystal ball, we wouldn't have any worries in the world. But thankfully right now things are going well for the Mustangs, and the Billings Wolves probably would love to have some of that success.
Well, I think that's for sure, and I was just thinking as you were saying that the Wolves had done so much with marketing, and in truth, the Mustangs probably don't do as much marketing as they could, and maybe don't need to.
More of an established fixture.
They're such a fixture in town. And I know the new ownership, one of the things they'd like to see is more Mustangs posters up around town, or more kids wearing Mustangs jerseys around town, and just having that presence year-round. I know that they would like to see, when you go by the ballpark, for instance, that this is the home of the Billings Mustangs. And, it's really true. You go by there, you wouldn't know that.
True. Especially if you're not from here or haven't spent any significant time here, you wouldn't know. So putting up a sign of that nature, that'd be fantastic. You think about having more team presence year round, well, a little tough to do when you're not a year round team, when you're, you know, 3 months out of the year. But certainly while those players are here, you know, maybe have them out doing some appearances. We talked about it last week when the Wolves were coming back in, you know, relaunching in the IFL. They made sure they had players out everywhere. There were Wolves jerseys and hats and everything else. So that might be something to consider for, I don't think that's a revolutionary change. I think that that is something that, you know, it's a moderate thing that helps increase fan following and be great. There's some expense laid out for printing those items.
Well, for sure.
But, you know, you don't have to print a million of them to get started. You could, you know, start with a run of 200 and then do another run.
You know, and there are some differences, you know, between baseball and indoor football where you're playing once a week. And so you have the opportunity during the week to send people out to the schools or whatever. You know, with baseball, you're playing every day. You know, the team shows up the day before opening day, and they're gone.
Some of the players showed up on opening day.
And some of them show up on opening day. And so, you know, I think, and with all the workouts during the day, it would be really difficult to, let's say, send a group of players. There's no school to go into because school's out. So it is a different animal.
But, you know, you've got Boys and Girls Club through the summer. YMCA runs summer programs. There's always some kind of activity. It'd be cool to do, you know, a meet and greet with the team pregame kind of thing. You know, if, as long as it didn't foul up the manager's plans for pep talks and, you know, lineup plans, that might be something that, you know, people could take advantage of.
Well, and, you know, I think, and only Gary and the manager really knows if this is possible, but I know it's, I think it's pretty cool that some of these players, especially you've got different cultures who are here that people in Billings are exposed to, and I think it would be pretty cool if those cultures, more people were exposed to those cultures. And I know those, I've interviewed some of those kids from Cuba, for instance, last year, and some of the other Latin countries, and they really enjoy being here and getting to know some of the people here. And it'd be great to get them out even more, if possible.
It would also be great, and this is just, I'm not trying to be that guy.
You're that guy.
I'm being that guy. Hang on, I've got to dig for something on the computer. As we're talking about other cultures here as well, Dave Sibley stepping into the studio.
A culture unto himself.
I'm a whole other planet.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not just another culture.
Okay, so when we're doing baseball games with the Mustangs, we have something on the air that's called a return liner, and that's basically where the players and the staff have all gotten together, and they've recorded something that basically says you're listening to the Mustangs. So this would be an example of that you would hear during a game.
Hi, this is pitcher Ian Kahaloa, and you're listening to Billings Mustang Baseball on ESPN 910 KBLG.
Ian does a great job. If I hit that button again.
Hi, my name is Jacob Wapnick, the assistant clubhouse manager.
See, the computer's going
to
throw all these at me.
Billings Mustangs Baseball on ESPN 910.
But I know which ones you're talking about. Hello,
yes.
Billy Mustang.
Yes.
You're listening. Yeah.
That is where I know that the Reds organization, as Gary mentioned, would love to have these players exposed to the media and exposed to more chances to talk so they get a better mastery of the language. It would be nice if I could just have all the players say ESPN 910 KBLG instead of KBLG.
But you wouldn't be able to tell all the jokes about Sammy Sosa forgetting English in front of Congress.
There is that. You know, so. And God love them. The players are all fantastic to work with. They all do a great job. And not an easy job either, because as Gary mentioned, they're on a bus. They're here for three games. They're off to there for four games. They're off to there. So it is rough.
Well, my favorite story last summer, and doggone it, I'm forgetting the player's name, but he was a guy who escaped from Cuba, had spent his birthday in a Mexican jail with his dad. Maybe one of you remember.
I remember the story. Yeah,
really solid hitter, and just, you know, we sat over at Perkins, and the Mustangs hitting coach was there too, as an interpreter, and just you know, it's terrific to first of all for me to try to learn and speak a little bit of Spanish. I am able to do a little bit, but then, you know, to have these, both of them speaking English and him trying to speak English. And it's just a tremendous experience. It's part of the reasons I got into this. And his story was fantastic, you know, from Cuba to Billings. And
the path defecting, that it took.
Just like Yasiel Puig and the Fernandez kid who died the other day. extraordinary stories that these guys have to tell.
Yeah. One other story that I'm glad we never saw repeated, somebody driving a car out onto Dealer Field, out on the field at Dealer Park. It was shortly after the park opened. Apparently, they didn't realize that there's a six-foot drop from the parking lot up back into the outfield, and they literally drove a car over that wall. I'm glad we haven't seen that repeated.
Potential Darwin Award there, eh?
Yeah, I think the only...
Except yeah, it's only six. Not it's only six. You drive that off the Green Monster in Boston,
yeah.
Absolute Darwin Award winner.
Yeah, but to be considered for Darwin, you actually have to terminate your own life in the process of the stupid act, so... I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. I know Dave wants to talk several things, including senior high Bronc football, but also your Washington Huskies.
Yeah, my Huskies put a little bit of a whooping on the Cardinal last weekend.
We also got to get AJ on the phone so we can chat about Grizz, and we arranged to make sure we call him instead of relying on him to call us. So we'll be back in just a moment with Billings Sports Talk here on ESPN 910 KBLG.
We're pink, be pink at Rimrock Mall on October 15th for Pack the Mall in Pink, a fabulous event for just $5, benefiting the nonprofit Pack the Place in Pink, helping Montana women with breast cancer. Starting at 1 p.m., you'll enjoy food, beverages, and a silent auction, followed by a fabulous fashion show beginning at 2, modeled by breast cancer survivors. Visit rimrockmall.com for more details and to purchase your tickets. This message is brought to you in part by Residential Support Services and Advanced Dental Professionals as part of the Love Billings campaign.
Q2 Sports Director Scott Breen here, inviting you to listen 12 times a day, Monday through Friday, to ESPN 910 KBLG. We'll have your latest local sports action. If you're wondering about area cowboys and cowgirls on the rodeo circuit, ESPN 910 KBLG also has you covered there. Or if you're into college football, we'll have the spectrum of Montana's teams. If it's local sports action, college or high school, it's ESPN 910 KBLG, your brand new home for Rocky Mountain Battling Bears football. And for trending sports news, go to ESPN 910 KBLG.com.
Stop by the Grandstand Sports Bar and check out their daily lunch and dinner specials. Football season is back, and the Grandstand is the place to watch. During all games, get buckets of beer for just $12, big wells for $11, and now during the games, a dozen wings in-house, only $8. It's the Grandstand, 905 Grand Avenue. And don't forget to check out their Facebook page for daily lunch and dinner specials.
It's homecoming weekend for the Rocky Mountain College Battling Bears. This Saturday, the Bears will go up against Southern Oregon University. Remember, you can listen to every play on ESPN 910 KBLG. Pregame Saturday, October 8th, starts at 12:30. Kickoff scheduled for 1 p.m. Rocky Mountain College Battling Bear football is brought to you in part by SignPro, Dietz Auto, Pepsi of Billings, and EFX Sports Nutrition. Don't miss the Battling Bears this Saturday for homecoming 2016 on ESPN 910 KBLG.
And welcome back to ESPN 910 KBLG. It is Billings Sports Talk. AJ asked an unfortunate question right as we were coming back in. Jeff was trying to answer. And,
I'm a rookie at this.
You know, but he can't hear what's going on. He's out there in Missoula. So even if he was listening to the stream, he'd be a good 15 seconds behind us live. So I give him a pass on that one.
No pass for me, though.
My bad, guys. My bad.
That's all right. AJ, I guess I have a question to get us started talking about the Grizz. In order to keep parity within the state, do the Grizz plan on starting a freshman at quarterback, too?
No, they do not. specifically because I'm sure they don't want to use up any of the red shirts on the guys. They have plenty of upperclassmen that I think will probably see the field at quarterback this week.
Well, for all of us out here in Billings, we all appreciate that. So,
sure.
So, AJ, you're coming off two games now where the offense is just in record-setting form. Lost to Cal Poly, but a big win over Southern Utah, the defending league champs, last weekend. Is it fair to say that this team is hitting stride at this point?
Yeah, specifically on the offense, I would say they certainly are. And Coach Stitt said that last week was about the best performance they've had on offense for what he wants to do. There was over 600 yards offense, 400 through the air and 200 on the ground, and that's you can't ask for a whole lot better than that. So we should be seeing probably another good offense performance this week against a team that has not fared very well this year.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But they do have an ugly record with some ugly scores, Mississippi Valley State.
Yes, they do.
So what's changed with the offense? It was struggling a little bit early on. Is there anything real tangible that's happening? Is it just time?
You know, some of it's your boy Gustafson. He's finally really reading the defense right and making the right decisions on every play, and it's quick, short passes that just keep a drive moving. And you see these long drives that they're starting to build up, 8, 9, 10 plays every time, all the way down into the end zone or the red zone. And so far they're perfect in the red zone on the season as well. And so they're kind of milking the clock. I mean, you got a spread offense team that is about even time of possession, which is typically not something you're going to see. It's going to go to one of those run right up the middle sort of teams that's going to go into the huddle. But the Grizz are going no huddle, and they're still splitting time of possession.
I saw the comment that Stitt made after the game that something to the effect of, you know, this is the kind of football that we promised when I came here a couple of years ago. I mean, do you sense him feeling a comfort level at this point?
You know, I would say more so, for sure. And he's got his guys this year. We expect it to be a little bit different because he went out and recruited people that can run his system that he wants to fit into all of the pieces and the holes. And there was this huge turnover in the offseason where they just changed about half of their roster. It's because he wanted to find the guys that could do everything he needs them to do. And through a couple games this year, you know, everybody's sort of settling into those roles, and it's looking fun.
So he's a coach. He's got to find the things to work on. What are there any concerns still at this point? And maybe even we can say offensively, I can't imagine. But in general, offense, defense, special teams, what still needs to rise up to make this team a contender for potentially a long run in the playoffs?
You know, the receivers are kind of still coming into their own. There's so many new faces and really young guys there that when there are some of the breakdowns on offense, you can sort of chalk it up to these guys being inexperienced, not making the right move in a route when, you know, it's all very quick, done with hand signals and that kind of stuff right before the actual play. So there's a lot that can kind of get lost in translation if you don't know it very well, and some of that will get fixed through practice. The other issue that we're starting to see right now is in special teams. We were a little worried about it before the season with a bunch of new kickers and punters and that sort of thing. And last week they missed two PATs and had a field goal blocked. And in the early season, that had looked like something that had remedied itself with redshirt freshman kicker Tim Semenza. But maybe, you know, we kind of forgot that he is a redshirt freshman, so you got to give him a little bit of time to get his own things figured out as well.
Well, and those are the kinds of things that can be potentially deadly if you get into a close game.
Right, yeah. They left 5 points on the board last week and ended up not being a big deal because they won by 23. But you get into a closer game, and all of a sudden that's going to mean the world.
Well, let's turn to the other side of the ball. If they're able to gel, and that the defense had actually been playing fairly well when the offense was still trying to come into its own, any concerns there? How close is this team to running on all cylinders other than maybe the special teams part you mentioned?
You know, defensively, we haven't seen many issues this year. Obviously, against Cal Poly, they gave up 40 points, but some of that goes to credit Cal Poly for running an excellent game plan and that triple option just being so hard to stop. But, you know, they're very deep at in the defensive backfield, which they're going to, you know, rotate a lot of guys through this week. Very deep on the defensive line. The young linebackers have played well above their experience level. So there hasn't been a whole lot of issue there this season. So, you know, I think once that offense can prove that it can be consistent, this is going to be a scary game.
All right, let's look ahead a little bit here. It's kind of, given where the Grizz are and just how much they seem to be in sync at this point, I wonder, you've got Mississippi Valley State coming in, a program with some history, including perhaps the greatest wide receiver ever to play in the NFL in Jerry Rice. But
the greatest wide receiver.
Okay.
Are you a 49er
fan? That's a 49er guy here.
No, I'm not. Okay. You've got to give him his due.
But I would agree with that assessment. But they've fallen on hard times, like a lot of those traditionally black Southern schools where – you know, ever since integration, all those great players went from Grambling and Mississippi Valley State to actually Alabama and Mississippi. So the question being, you know, how valuable is this game to the Grizz at this time?
Yeah, it's interesting. Coaches have talked a lot this week about looking internally and not worrying about what the opponent is.
and they need to not go into this game just assuming it's going to be a victory, and go in and work on their things and want to be better coming out of this game than they went into it. And I think that's not really going to be reflected on the scoreboard so much, because it should be a very one-sided game. You know, the betting line on this thing was more than 50 points.
Yeah.
So, you're looking at a severe underdog, to say the least. So they just want to go in and execute, and I think if they can have a solid first half, you see them run the field a couple times, score on some long touchdowns, get some takeaways and some defensive stops, you'll be looking at some of those younger guys and some of the future of the Grizz playing in the second half.
And do you think the coaching staff feels like a good half from the first unit and a 42-0 lead? Does that enable you to continue the role that you're on, or would you actually like somebody a little more competitive? There's no choice, but would a more competitive game be preferred at this point?
Yeah, it's a good question. And if you ask them straight up, that they're not gonna say anything like that, because they certainly don't want to disrespect the opponent too much. I think as long as they don't miss a beat and do what they're supposed to, I think this is just fine. You know, gives you a chance to work on some of the depth. They talked a lot about in the early season of wanting to know who their number two quarterback would be for sure, and that still really hasn't been remedied. And looking at last year, they ended up using three guys. And so you want to know that you have a number two that you can rely on. So there'll be some nice things that they can work on and get some other guys some reps this week and really spread it out a little bit and kind of get everybody a good outing, I think.
Do you know how this game ended up on the Grizz schedule? Has it been there for a while? Fill-in game? How did this come about?
They got this about a year ago. I think it was the last January, so a year and a half ago. And they were looking around to try and get a sixth game for their home schedule, just something they want every single year, five on the road, six at home, because the Grizz make a lot of money during their home games. Surprise, surprise. And it's difficult to schedule these non-conference games because there's no teams in this region. The West is completely devoid of FCS teams that are not the Big Sky, and then one lone team in San Diego. So they have to go way outside to get some of these teams, and it led to them scheduling a lot of these one-offs, not necessarily a home-and-home series, with programs they've never played before. We saw it earlier this year with St. Francis, a team from Pennsylvania that the teams had never met before.
Yeah, and you can't say this about a lot of FCS schools, but with the Grizz, it actually is a payday game for a school like Mississippi Valley State, right?
It is. It absolutely is, and they'll be making well over $200,000 for this, and Grizz will basically buy them a plane ticket to come up here and have their lunch.
Yeah, and hopefully they can use some of that to get some players. I'm not saying pay them, but, boy, some of those schools have really fallen on hard times. But as you said, the Grizz will have a chance to maybe to get some guys into the game who could use some snaps.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you like scoring, it's still probably a game worth coming out to. The atmosphere is always fun, even if it's not necessarily a great game on the field.
Well, I'm almost hesitant to ask for a prediction here, because if the spread is 50 points, I mean, we know who's going to win this thing. But what do you see transpiring Saturday?
I think 50 points is that's a little too much. So I'm gonna go with something along the lines of 56-7. So 49 points.
Okay. AJ Mazzolini of the Missoulian, 406mtsports.com. Thanks again for all your great work, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, AJ. Tell you what, we'll come back, talk a little bit of Huskies, a little bit of senior high Bronc football, and more with Dave Sibley. You're listening to Billings Sports Talk on ESPN 910 KBLG.
Honest conversations mean sharing what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. At times, investing can seem difficult and emotional. Throughout it all, your Edward Jones financial advisor is your advocate for the long term, with your best interests in mind.
That's why we take the time to listen and understand what's important to you. Then we explain in plain English how we can help you make progress towards your goals, even when it's not exactly what you want to hear. Call your local financial advisors Mike Vondra or Ryan Sother at 248-8421 or stop by and see us at 1010 Central Avenue. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Guadalajara Mexican Restaurant, voted Best Mexican Restaurant Reader's Choice Award 12 straight years. They're a family Mexican restaurant with Montana's largest selection of the finest Mexican foods, no matter which of the locations you visit. Come enjoy their delicious specials, tasty super combinations, small and large combos, and a full liquor menu, all available for your enjoyment. The Guadalajara also has a banquet facility for special events. Guadalajara Mexican Restaurant. Bienvenidos, amigos. Stop in today and give them a try.
One day, they're playing grown-up. The next day, they are one. As time goes by, the cost of college continues to rise. You know that college is important, but that expense may seem out of reach. We can help.
We're your local Edward Jones financial advisors, Mike Vondra and Ryan Sother. Let's work together on strategies to help you tackle growing college expenses. Stop by our office at 1010 Central Avenue, or give us a call at 248-8421. Again, that's 248-8421. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
What if someone just magically handed you a few hours? Would you use them for work? Maybe clean the house, take a nap, or just hang with the family? Well, here you go. It's the few hours you'll save by hopping on a fast Cape Air flight from Billings instead of driving to Sydney, Glendive, Glasgow, Havre, or Wolf Point. Let Cape Air connect you to your Montana destination, and it costs just $49 each way. Redeem your free time. Book your flight at capeair.com or call 1-800-CAPE-AIR. Some restrictions may apply.
This is Jim Soft with Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Foundation. Selling agricultural machinery and equipment can result in high taxes. Before you sell, consider ways to bypass those taxes and put all the sales proceeds to work generating income for you and your family. Contact the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Foundation to learn how at no obligation. Montana ranchers have allowed us to give a hand up to troubled kids for nearly 60 years. Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Foundation, where prosperity meets purpose.
And welcome back to Billings Sports Talk on ESPN 910 KBLG. If you want to join the conversation, 652-5254 is the number. Again, 652-5254. And we made him wait half an hour, so we might as well let him talk a little bit. Dave Sibley joining us. Of course, Sibs is the voice of the Billings Senior High Bronc football broadcast. And that's coming up Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's an early start. Early start this week. We've actually had two of those 4 o'clock games this year. The first game of the year was a 4 o'clock start, and then this one because West and Skyview play the late game this week. So
well, and actually, it's a good thing that you've got a 4 o'clock start for senior because Major League Baseball fans will get satisfied as well. You're sandwiched right in between Major League Baseball post game play with the Blue Jays and the Rangers at 10:30 in the morning on Friday, and then the National League Wild Card winner takes on the Cubbies starting at 6:45.
Well, that should work out well then, yeah, because we should be dead. Well, I tell you what, the West Senior fans or West Skyview fans, they're hoping that we're out of there by 6:45.
Oh, come on. We know the clock's not going to stop at all in the fourth quarter.
It hasn't, really, well, this year.
This week, I bet it does. I bet they go full on. It'll still be a rout, but...
I mean, this is going to be... This week and next week are going to be an interesting measuring stick because, you know, Bozeman and Kalispell Glacier are ranked 2 and 3 in the state. And, you know, Kalispell did get them earlier this year, but they only got them by 4. And Kalispell has CMR at home this week, and then the Bronx go on the road to CMR next week. So these 2 weeks, I think, are going to be a good measuring stick. And I was talking to a guy, the president of the Touchdown Club, this week, and he was saying that, you know, Murdoch has done an amazing job this year of keeping everybody's head on straight. But I think you're right that, you know, I've been saying since the beginning of the year, the Bozeman game's probably not very difficult to get people up for because of the way things went last year. So, you know, that one is probably a relatively easy mark, and one that you mentioned last week. That's probably been circled on the calendar since the schedule came out, you know, in June or July. But that CMR game is the one that always made me nervous. That always seems to be a tough road trip. It's later in the season, so you don't know what the weather's going to be. If CMR is not having the season that they traditionally have, and, I mean, let's be honest, Jack Johnson's not there anymore, and his 300 wins aren't standing on the sidelines. So that game makes me a little bit nervous. I think because of their likelihood, especially if Kalispell gets through this week, if Glacier gets through this week, there's a decent chance it's going to come down to the goofy tiebreakers, which means that you better not overlook anybody. And it puts you in a difficult spot as a coaching staff for a high school game because obviously you don't want to embarrass kids. But if the MHSA at some point is going to start adding up point totals, you almost don't have a choice. You have to run up the score depending on where you're at. That said, senior's toughest game was that Big Sky game. And, you know, early in the season, That's the last game of the year for Kalispell Glacier, and it's in Missoula. So, yeah, I mean, you would love to be able to sit at home, and all those Bronc players can do it because they're off. They get Hellgate that last week of the season. So they'll win the last week of the season, but as you said last week, they'll win 14-0 that last week of the season. And, you know, depending on how things go this next 2 weeks, you're going to have a pretty good idea, I think, of exactly where both teams stand. And that could make the last couple weeks of the season very interesting, even though that senior Skyview game the next to the last week, the way Skyview's played thus far this year, hard to imagine that being much of a ball game, but you're going to know exactly what matters going into that game.
For sure. Well, and you know, and somebody in here, I think it was Chase last week, thought that Great Falls might actually put up something of a fight, and we found out that wasn't the case.
That was a long bus ride home for Great Falls Friday night.
Well, and the crazy thing about that game, I mean, you know, both Big Sky and Butte, when they came in, clearly came in with the game plan that you would have expected. Hold on to the football, run the ball, take the ball early, you know, try and shorten up the game and hope something goofy happens and you have a shot in the fourth quarter. And Steve and I talked about it quite a bit during the broadcast on Friday. Great Falls won the flip, and they gave it to Senior to start. So they deferred to the second half. Senior, of course, takes football if you're not going to get it to start the second half. And they had had the ball for 58 seconds of clock time about 2.5 minutes into the game, and they were up 60-0.
Yeah.
So it was,
I don't know why I don't know why you would give them the ball.
Well, and that's what we were talking about, was that, I mean, counterintuitively, you're crazy not – you know, not to defer because you want potentially that extra possession and the potential for momentum. If you can score going into the half, then you get the ball again to start. It makes a lot of sense. But when you've got an offense that's this dynamic and running the hurry up the way they did, they never huddle, but they don't huddle for the most part because it means you can't substitute on defense. And so they don't really run a hurry up. They run sort of a slow, no huddle most of the time. But it took 50 seconds to go 80 yards down the field on that first drive, and then the second drive of the game, they hit Sulcer on about a, I don't know, 7-yard curl pattern. And the defense, I'm sure a lot of folks out there will remember, you know, Michael Vick, his rookie year, where two guys from the Vikings think they have Steve. Be mad at me for mentioning the Vikings in this context.
I don't cheer for the Vikings. The Vikings cost me my hair. I'm astounded the Vikings are up 4-0 right now. The Vikings will turn the other way. They will lose. I'm just telling you.
Just don't ever bring up Gary Anderson.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm going to ask, do you hate the Falcons like all my Viking friends do?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, and the two defenders were coming through, and you know, the reality of Sulcer, as the Great Falls coach said last week, you better not be chasing him because he's long ago established. You're not going to catch him. So you better have the angle, and you probably should overestimate the angle because you just can't get used to that kind of speed in practice because nobody else has it. And so that's, you know, you can game plan all you want to, but speed really does kill. And the Bronx just have so much of it that, you know, it's got to be a frightening prospect. And I'll be curious to see what Bozeman does coming in because, I mean, Bozeman's ranked for third in the state. They're not out of this.
No.
If they win tonight, or if they win on Friday, and something funny happens with Kalispell, they could at least have home field all the way through until that Kalispell game and potentially have the option of, well, if they've beaten the Bronx might have to go to Glacier and win a game on the road. But Bozeman could potentially, if they can win Friday night, have their fingers crossed that the Bronx can go into Kalispell, win earlier on in the playoffs, and yeah, they'll get the Bronx at home again for the state championship, but they wouldn't necessarily have to leave the Gallatin Valley.
Well, I know Bozeman is solid, but I just don't see how they hang with the Bronx unless there's five turnovers. That's my over and under. If Senior turns it over five times, I give Bozeman a chance to win this thing.
Well, I think what's got to scare you perhaps as much as anything at the AA level is, you know, it was easy early on to look at the wins they were having and say, well, yeah, but it's early in the season. I mean, how good is Big Sky, really? How good is West? Well,
pretty good.
Very, right. I mean, West hasn't lost since. Big Sky's only other loss is to West in a dogfight a couple of weeks ago. So the reality is the Bronx weren't blowing out bad teams. They were just making good teams look very bad.
For sure. And, you know, I just, you know, unless there's 8 inches of snow in Great Falls in a couple of weeks to mitigate that speed, I don't see it. If they're playing on a fast track up there, I see what you're saying about the tiebreaker. I don't see how Glacier can even hang in the tiebreaker at that point.
But if there's 8 inches of snow slowing him down, it's slowing everybody else down too.
Well, and the reality is they can run the football. I mean, it's they don't seem to slow down very much when they do. But Nathan Dick has almost as many touchdowns on the ground as he does through the air. And that's the thing that really has to scare you is, you know, and we talked about it last week that, you know, against Butte, Sulcer only touched the ball 6 times. Now, granted, he had 2 receiving touchdowns and a touchdown passing in those 6 times he touched the football. But Murdoch made it what seemed to be a conscious effort to take the football out of his hands. I would guess in part as a response to last year's state championship game. He said, okay, well, I want to know how good we are if for some reason Gabe can't go or he's not 100%. Well, the answer is pretty darn good. But that's got to scare you is that, look, they can run the ball. They just have the best quarterback in the state, so they don't bother. But he's an incredibly talented dual-threat quarterback. They could beat you on the ground if they need to. They just don't very often.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we'll see a little bit more traditional game out of them Friday. It is an intriguing matchup.
It is.
You know, and we are the Gazette. We're going to interview tomorrow morning some of those kids who played last year and haven't forgotten about this. It's going to be fun to see what they have to say about that.
Well, if Murdoch is true to form, it'll be a very New England Patriots set of responses.
On to Bozeman.
Kickoff is scheduled for 4 o'clock on Friday. Pre-game coverage starting, what, about 22?
Yeah, about quarter 22. Quarter two.
And,
are
course,
you in the booth Friday? Or?
I don't know if I'm in the booth or if I'm starting it out and going from there. We'll figure that out. I was just thinking about that. We haven't lined up the weekend schedules yet. But 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, you can hear the game right here on ESPN 910 KBLG. And you might as well go ahead and brag a little bit about, I heard you giving the redhead grief on Friday night as you were doing the senior game.
Oh, yeah.
About your Washington Huskies.
Well, I won't repeat what I was saying when we were off the air, because I think the FCC might get a little bit fired up about that. But, that was obviously, there were a bunch of statement games at the college football level last week, and that certainly was one of them. It was a great way to get the weekend started, certainly doubly so if you're a Husky fan. The Huskies had won and won easily with the exception of the week before at Arizona here in 2016, but they hadn't really played anybody. And so, you know, it was difficult to know, all right, so fine, you beat a team out of the Big Ten, but that Big Ten team is Rutgers. And then they beat Idaho, and they'd beaten Portland State. And so, you know, I mean, they'd been putting up big numbers. They had a ton of guys coming back. They had the number one defense in the Pac-12 last year. But they also graduated several guys off that defense who were playing on Sundays now. And so it was a little bit difficult to know, you know, how much talent they really had. And, you know, let's be honest, Stanford's kind of lorded supreme over that Pac-12 North the last several years, and so you knew that was going to be a measuring stick. But it's been interesting to me this week, you know, listening to the guys on ESPN and whatnot. They talked about it a lot on game day Saturday morning, because I think there were a lot of people that thought they had a shot because they're playing in Seattle. It's a tough place to play. It's a short week. You know, you never really know how guys are going to respond, playing at night, playing under the lights, all those kinds of things. There were people that thought they'd win. Nobody thought it was going to be 44-7.
Well, that was impressive. And, you know, the thing about Washington, and I've watched them a long time, covered them a lot when I was in Corvallis covering Oregon State, is for going back to about 2001, I think it was, when they kicked a field goal to beat Oregon State and keep Oregon State from being undefeated that year. And Oregon State ends up against Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. And
then
Washington
starts the following season number one.
Starts number one and then collapses that year. Since then, Washington is just seems to strike me as that program that's had a lot of talent, but just culturally has never put it together. They've won some big games, but lost some big games and lost some games they should. And this is true of their basketball program too, by the way, under Lorenzo Romar, who is a terrific human being and recruits unbelievably. I'm making you talk basketball here when you really want to talk football.
No, that's fine.
But
hey, that number one seed in 2006, half that team went to my high school. So Brandon Roy and company, Will
plus
Conroy.
You got to get him ready to talk about more than just one sport anyway, since he's sitting in for you next week.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But now with Chris Peterson, who I think, you know, he showed at Boise State, the guy's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's got some guys on his staff who are the real deal. And, you know, culture is so important within an athletic department, within an athletic program. I will say I was telling these guys off the air, my daughter works in the athletic department at the University of Washington in events, and she loves the people there. A class act, she said, and this is her fourth school in the last 5 or 6 years. Loves the football coaching staff. Thinks that they're great people who, you know, I mean, she's not an expert on coaching by any stretch. She also loves Romar and hopes that he has some success. But these are really good people over there that make them easy to root for, and they've got a culture now in place that's going to help them a lot.
No, I think they do. I mean, they made some, I think, questionable hires as far as the football program. I mean, Neuheisel, you know, had success at Colorado, but he had it with the previous administration's team. Same thing at Washington. He came in, he goes 10-1 the first year. They go to the Rose Bowl. They beat Purdue in the Rose Bowl. Shouldn't probably even count.
Purdue was in a Rose Bowl?
Well, Drew Brees was on that team.
Was like 1944?
Not quite that long ago. And then they bring Willingham in, and, you know, I mean, he'd had some success at Notre Dame, but sort of a similar situation. And the entirety of the time Neuheisel was there, he's a quarterback's coach. And he has all this reputation as being a great recruiter, but he doesn't recruit linemen. And you'd think as a former quarterback, you would kind of understand, dude, the big uglies are the guys who keep you from getting killed.
Yeah.
You kind of need to do that because you can't run. I mean, there is no better friend of a quarterback than a decent offensive line and a good running game. You should know that as a former quarterback. But for some reason, he doesn't seem to. And they've just had a very difficult time recruiting after that. And their biggest issue is that they've lost the best players in Washington. And that's what's really
they've got to keep them.
You got to keep the best guys at home and then get, you know, the guys out of California, especially Southern California. You know, if USC and UCLA don't want them, that's fine. We'll take the 4-star recruits you don't have.
There's plenty of them.
There's plenty of them, right? Yeah. And that's, you know, you look at the national title team in 91. Half that team was from Southern California or the Central Valley, and a lot of their big stars were. I mean, that's where Brunell was from. Billy Joe Hobert was from Puyallup, but most of their linebacking core, Dave Hoffman and those guys, were all California kids. So, you know, I mean, you do need to be able to expand outside the immediate area, but you have to keep the best players at home.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that that's a program that even when they were mediocre, you'd say this is a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. When you look at the talent pool they've got to draw from on the coast, when you look at the stadium and the environment, one of two places in America where you come tailgate on a yacht, it's a special, special place, and it's just sort of been mind-numbing that they have been as average as they've been.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you were mentioning earlier, it's not that they haven't had talent. I mean, you know, arguably the best young corner in the NFL right now went to Washington for 2 years and or 3 years and then left after his junior year. He's playing in Kansas City now. And I mean, they have had talent come through. They had 3 number one draft picks a couple of years ago, all on the defensive side of the football. But they haven't been able to put both together until this year. And it is sort of ironic because, you know, you sort of knew when Chris Peterson was at Boise State, he's just biding his time. Because he got looks from all sorts of programs every single year.
Yeah.
And there must be something about the Northwest that he just knew. Look, Sarkisian's not going to stay there forever. If he wins, one of two things is going to happen. He's either not going to win and they're going to fire him. Or he's going to win and he's going to go somewhere else. And that's obviously what ultimately happened. It almost feels like he was just sitting on that job knowing, I don't have it so bad in Boise.
You know,
I win 10 games every year, go to a BCS Bowl every two
people
or three
love
years.
You.
Yeah, this wasn't
money's
such a,
fine.
Right. I mean, you're making a million plus, you know, in Boise. It wasn't such a bad gig, but he could just sit there until the ticket he wanted to write came along. And I think, you know, obviously you got to take advantage of it when the opportunity presents itself. But boy, somebody hung a curveball to that guy. And it's still flying, I think.
Well, and I would say the same thing about my alma mater, Arizona State, in terms of sleeping giant. And,
yeah.
But it just never happens. Brock Osweiler did his best, but so I'm a long frustrated Arizona State alum. But it is good to see the Huskies up there, and my daughter, who's a Cougar, so you can imagine as she does her work on game days with her crimson and. and Gray.
I bet she doesn't do that the last Saturday in November.
She struggles with that. But I asked her about it the other day. I said, you're going to be singing the Husky fight song at the Rose Bowl this year. I just know it. And she said, never. But I tell you what, when they win, people are really happy around here, and it's a fun place to work.
Well, and I will tell you what, I think there's a decent chance she may not be singing it at the Rose Bowl.
Well, it could be even something better than that. Yeah. And she was happy because the Cougars dismantled Oregon, which, you know, they're talk about the rise and apparent fall.
I always said when I was a kid, my three favorite teams were the Huskies and whoever's playing Oregon and USC. So,
you know, in Oregon, it was like this. You're at Oregon State. It was pretty close sometimes between Oregon and Washington because the perceived arrogance. You know, at one time, it was Oregon, Oregon State, and Washington State in the Northwest looking up at Washington. And then Oregon got Phil Knight's money, and everything turned around there. And so now Oregon was the one everybody wanted to beat. But I don't know. Things seem to be leveling out a little bit back to what I would call normalcy. Washington, by all rights, should be the dominant program.
They certainly should have those four. And we'll see what Mike Leach can ultimately keep going in Pullman. They obviously were getting a lot of pub early in the season. And it looked, you know, after last year, maybe that was legitimate. They were going to put up a lot of points. They've struggled a little bit early, and we'll see whether or not he can get that going. And if he does, whether or not he stays, which is obviously the other part of that. Pullman's a tough place to recruit to.
No doubt.
And it doesn't have, the best of facilities for some of those reasons. If they won consistently, they might. You never know. We got a caller, Jack?
Got somebody hanging on the line, 652-5254. You're on the air with Billings Sports Talk. Hello.
Hi, I was just wondering, who do you guys like in tonight's Giants-Mets game?
It's in New York. I mean, that is going to be a heck of a pitching matchup. I would tell you there's a decent chance you can probably go have dinner with the wife and kids for about the first 7.5 innings and then come back and see who can manage to get into the bullpen. I mean, Bumgarner has been unreal in the postseason, and you just sort of get the sense with him that it's like the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2001 that, you know, there may not be a whole lot top to bottom in that, but I'm just not betting against him come October.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with that. And Bumgarner's been amazing. The Mets seem to be doing this with mirrors.
Yeah.
They're at home. I give them a shot. They've got a decent pitcher on the mound tonight as well.
Yeah, Syndergaard's had a great year.
He has had a great year. I think that's a great assessment about getting into the bullpen. It might be 0-0 going into the eighth inning.
I think it might, yeah.
And, that's then where the home crowd sometimes can play a role. But my gut's telling me Bumgarner and the Giants.
Well, and the other you look at the game last night that, of course, we had, I think you had right here on ESPN Radio last night, the American League wildcard game. Baseball's weird. Because unlike any other sport, there's no clock. And so, you look at the college football playoff format, or overtime format, rather, there's a reason everybody, if they win that opening flip, goes second. Because you know what you have to do. If they only get a field goal, all you got to do is get into the end zone. If they get a touchdown, you know you have to go for it on fourth down. And then you got to decide whether or not you want to go for two. Well, baseball's like that every single game. Because there's just such a tremendous advantage to knowing bottom of the inning, it doesn't matter. In theory, I could give up 9 runs in the top of the 11th, and I'm not dead. I still got 3 outs. And all I've got to do, is if I can get the winning run to the plate, and they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, that the thing with Toronto is they always assume the winning run is at home plate. And if they're within 4, that may well be true because they can go deep up and down that lineup. And and obviously there was a lot of grief for the Baltimore skipper this morning about, not bringing in the best relief pitcher in baseball last night. But that's just such a tremendous advantage. And I think it's always hard. If you can pitch deep into a ball game and keep it real, real close or keep it even, the fact that you get those last 3 out, worst case scenario, you get the last 3 outs of the game, is just such an enormous advantage.
It's good. It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And former Mustang hits that winning home run.
Yeah.
There we go. Back to where we started from with Gary Roller. Very cool.
Exactly.
Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with final thoughts. If you've got something you want to chip in, 652-5254 is the number to reach us at Billings Sports Talk. here on ESPN 910 KBLG. Try leaving the mic on until you hit the button, Jack.
It's Yellowstone Fitness's anniversary. To celebrate, pay no sign-up fee when you join Yellowstone Fitness from May 1st through May 7th. And 25% off all clothing in the Yellowstone Fitness store. Plus, students pay only $85 for the summer and no sign-up fees with a student ID. Get Billings' best fitness value at anniversary prices. Only $39.99 a month and no sign-up fees from May 1st through May 7th. Yellowstone Fitness in West Park Promenade.
At Yellowstone Fitness.
It's homecoming weekend for the Rocky Mountain College Battling Bears. This Saturday, the Bears will go up against Southern Oregon University. Remember, you can listen to every play on ESPN 910 KBLG. Pregame Saturday, October 8th starts at 12:30. Kickoff scheduled for 1 p.m. Rocky Mountain College Battling Bear football is brought to you in part by Bob Smith Motors, Residential Support Services, and Cape Air. Don't miss the Battling Bears this Saturday for homecoming 2016 on ESPN. ESPN 910 KBLG. Christy Carter, a Roundup native, was recently diagnosed with a brain cancer. A benefit to assist her and her family with medical costs and related expenses is scheduled for Sunday, October 9th at the Roundup Community Center, sponsored by Zion Lutheran Church, with a benefit dinner, silent auction, door prizes, and raffle for a half beef from 11 to 3. Donations can also be sent to First Security Bank of Roundup under the name Christy Carter Benefit. This message is brought to you by Cape Air and Scenic Zip Trip Stores as part of the Love Billings campaign. For more information, visit lovebillings.org.
It's the Nile. Don't miss Farstad Oil Ranch Rodeo Finals and three nights of Montana's biggest pro rodeo, featuring kids' wild pony rides. When the Nile comes to town October 15th through the 22nd at Metro Park in Billings. Tickets under $15. Get yours now at Metro Park box office or online. Don't miss the Nile.
Friday night, October 21st is Tough Enough to Wear Pink Night at the Nile, presented by St. Vincent Healthcare and ESPN 910. For more information, go to ESPN910.com. And welcome back to Billings Sports Talk on ESPN 910 KBLG. A couple of quick programming notes. Tomorrow, Major League Baseball, 2 o'clock coverage begins. The Blue Jays take on the Rangers as they hope to move on in the postseason. NFL, you've got the Cardinals at the 49ers tomorrow night starting at 6. And then you got a sports sandwich on Friday, 10:30 in the morning, Blue Jays and Rangers game 2. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Billings Senior hosts Bozeman at Wendy's Field at De La Stadium. Dave Sibley will have the call with Steve Babcock. And then the National League Wild Card winners will face the Cubs starting at 6:45 here on ESPN 910.
Park yourself in front of the radio, Jackson.
There you go. Be sure to go to 406mtsports.com if you want to nominate some athletes for our very first Boys and Girls Athletes of the Month for 406 Sports. I've got to believe that Nathan Dick is a primary candidate on the guys' side. It's a little less clear on the girls' side. And then also, if you want to be in the running for a couple of tickets to a Cat Grizz games, go to our 406 Facebook page, 406 MT Sports Facebook page, and all you have to do is like the page, and you're in the hunt. You'll be in the drawing that we'll do on Tuesday.
That's liking the page, not liking just a post on the page.
There's like the page.
Two separate places where you can put a like.
And then the bonus you get from that is we post all of our stories that go to 406 MT Sports, which are from the Gazette, from the Missoulian, the Helena, Butte Papers, even the Ravalli Republic. And so we've got the state covered from border to border. And I know that people in eastern Montana have appreciated being able to go and find out what's going on in western Montana. And speaking of which, boy, there's some other great high school football games this week. Billings Central, which remained number 2 in the Class A poll because Columbia Falls, big win over Dillon, leapfrogged into number 1. They're at number 4, Sydney. Eight-man, we've got number 10, Scobie, visiting number 5, Fairview, which always has a great program over there with the Hardys. Harleton, number 6, Harleton, having a great year this year. Number 8, Denton, Geyser, Stanford, a traditional power. Another great showdown. And then you go down to the 6-man, and I hope folks got to see our story by Kyle Hansen on the team at Bridger, ranked number 1, and the Zentner family and how they've made it go. They're hosting number 10, Reed Point, Rappel J. A couple other big games at 6-man, Valley Christian. who they've been complaining to us about not being high enough in their rankings. They're going to get a chance to prove it this weekend because they're at number two, Hot Springs,
You got to beat the best,
and that's what they're going to have to do. And one other game between ranked teams, White Sulphur Springs, which is number three after dropping down from eight-man last year. They're at number five, West Yellowstone. So things are going to shake out this week from top to bottom in high school football in Montana.
Yeah, no, they are. And, I mean, ironically, what would have been a great game at the B level ended up getting canceled this week with Manhattan not making a trip. There was going to be a neutral game with Huntley this week, and for a variety of reasons that didn't happen. But, no, we talked about it a little last week. I mean, great football at every level all around the area, and you guys do a great job covering it for Montana, 406 Montana Sports.
Well, and we'll be recapping it next week. Now, again, Jeff is out of pocket next week. He'll be traveling to Seattle, seeing his daughter, seeing the school, seeing some old friends. So Dave Sibley will be sitting in front of that microphone. Hopefully we'll have Mark Burr of the Wolves in with us to talk about what's going on with the Wolves in the IFL. We might reach out to a mutual friend that's got ties to the IFL and see if we can do a little reunion of the Outlaws in the studio as well.
I think we probably could arrange that, especially depending on where Mark Burr's at as far as, next week. So, yeah, no, I mean, there's some of those guys that are around, and, you know, we talked a little bit last week about the importance of sticking around in the community. So
there we go.
Well, maybe I'll stream you guys from the road and even call in and heckle.
You can do that. Always streaming on ESPN910.com. And, of course, running this on Facebook Live as well with 406 MT Sports. So you can check it out there. If you missed any part of the show today, our thanks to Gary Roller for stopping by. You can also check out the podcast when it loads probably later tonight or tomorrow.
Later tonight on the Gazette website and 406 MT Sports.
Fantastic. We thank you all for joining us. It is...
Time to go. It waits for no one.
No, it does not.
You've been listening to Billings Sports Talk with your host, Jeff Welch. Billings Sports Talk is a cooperative production of the Billings Gazette and Connoisseur Media and can be heard every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 on Billings' only sports station, ESPN 910 KBLG. From the EFX Sports Studio, this is Billings' only sports station, ESPN 910 KBLG. Billings.